and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music back on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Martin, joined by the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, today's guest, please introduce him.
Today's guest, well, I mean, geez, I think we may have set a record with youngest guest this time, but we have the lead singer for the band Red Voodoo, Dino McCord. Dino, how are you?
Good, how are you guys doing?
Well, we're fantastic. Great. Happy to be...
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have a chance to talk to you and to talk about all the music that Red Voodoo does. And, of course, the newest track is Bring It Back. So, yeah, well, tell us about the tracks, and then I think we'll go into your career a little bit, but and just what got you started. Yeah. But, yeah, let's talk about Bring It Back right away.
Right. So, yeah, you know, we just released Bring It Back on Christmas Eve. And, you know, Bring It Back was really the song that Red Voodoo wrote as a band. Me and the guitar player, Damon Lillard, sat down in my bedroom. And kind of the mission statement and the thinking behind the song is bringing rock and roll music back to our generation. You know, because it kind of got lost with all the rap and the pop, and it's all digital. And I really think that rock and roll really needs to have a revival and come back to the limelight.
I feel like, you know what, I feel like that's bubbling under the surface right now. Like, it's finally, you know, finally after all these years, like, there seems like there's a movement starting to develop of, like, let's bring back rock because there's nothing like it.
Right, you know, like bands like, you know, Greta Van Fleet and Dirty Honey and Joyous Wolf and, you know, us, you know, I could go on and on with just the strut, different bands that are young like us that are bringing that sound back.
You mentioned Dirty Honey, one of my favorites. But you guys, I mean, only a couple songs out there. But, you know, I love the sound. Like, you know, you're recapturing the type of rock music that I love.
That's cool, man. Yeah, you know, it's we want to kind of get like a, you know, 70s riff kind of sound with just like a little hard edge to it. And, you know, and really Red Voodoo, we're really big into like background vocals. You know, a big influence of the band is Van Halen, preferably the Sammy Hagar Van Halen. And you could really hear that with the background vocals and even Damon's playing on the solo a little bit like Eddie too. So,
well, yeah, and there's no question, I think, that I mean, Van Halen, the way they did things, especially with the background vocals, I mean, it added such a different layer to their music. I mean, besides the fact that you had Eddie, obviously, and just the sheer bombast of musicianship. But, like, I mean, really, without Michael Anthony, and I know Wolfgang did a good job, but, like, Michael Anthony really brought something extra to that sound.
Yeah, no matter what incarnation of the band, you saw Mikey with those background vocals. And we really took inspiration with our own sound, and even the upcoming, our first debut album, it really showcases that there.
When are we gonna get more music from you? That's what I want to know. Because I mean, you have a couple out there. I love it, but I love that big sound in the chorus. You know.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we really try to capture that in Rise Up as well. Our last single. This is the second single to be released. Did you guys get Rise Up?
Yep, sure did.
You bet. Cool. Actually, I tell you the truth, I love Rise Up even more.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Bring it back. I mean, it's an awesome song.
Cool. Thanks, man. Yeah, so the album's in the can, our very first debut album. It's going to be titled Bring It Back. That's the name of the album. So Bring It Back, the song, will be the title track of that album. And it's about 8 or 9 songs, give or take. And, you know, up until we release it, you know, with all this COVID going on, we just want to make sure when we release the album, we can go and support it, you know, with actual live shows. But up until then, you know, we're thinking the album for spring, you know. Spring sounds like what we're talking right now in the Red Voodoo camp. But we are going to be releasing a couple more singles, maybe 2 or 3 singles until, you know, that spring release date.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, tell us about working with Frank Hannon. I mean, I know he's been doing such an amazing job of mentoring, you know, young musicians such as yourself. But I mean, you know, what's it like to actually work with him?
It's really cool, man. I'll tell you right now, I'm up at his property right now. And Frank's super cool, man. He does it the best way for young musicians, you know, because we're going full time. I'm 18 years old, guitar player's 19, bass player's 18, drummer's 21, and you know, we don't really have jobs right now because we're really focusing on the music. So we don't have any money to pay for the studio time and the equipment and all that kind of stuff. So what we do is I'm looking at my guitar player across the way and we're raking leaves up to his property. It's kind of like a trade, you know. And we come up here and work on his property. and then exchange, you know, it kind of equals out. So that's really cool, you know, that he does that for us. But, you know, it just goes to show, man, he's one of the most humble, you know, down-to-earth people in the business, for sure.
That's actually, you know, a lot of what I want to know is that, I mean, I know he's mentoring you musically, you know, mentoring the music and producing and that type of thing. But as a teaching you as a person on how to act and how to behave, you know, once you've made it, you know, I'm sure that's something you want to give back then to the next generation following you because somebody did it for yourself.
Yeah. You know, what he told me is that, you know, Ronnie Montrose did that for him with Tesla, and now he's kind of paying it forward. And I hope if I could, you know, be as well off as, you know, Ronnie and Frank in the music world, that I would be more than happy to help another young band just like me, just like Red Voodoo, to help them make it, you know? So it's really cool. It kind of goes full circle like that.
How much has Frank helped, I guess, influence your sound in any way? Like, is that just you guys, or has he kind of like added his little flair? Because it sounds to me like, you know, when I listen to you guys, like there's moments where I'm like, oh, there's a little bit of Tesla in there. So it's just kind of interesting. But
right.
Like, yeah, is that him, you know, or you?
Right. So a lot of what's on the album coming up. It's really a lot of us, you know. He'll give his input and stuff, just like little changes in the transitions of music and stuff. But really, that's a lot of us. The most Tesla-sounding song is probably Rise Up, because that was the first song that we actually worked on with Frank together. And then we showed him all of our rest of our material, and he still produced and helped with that. But, yeah, it's 80s, I will say. It's still very kind of that classic rock sound. But as far as Tesla goes, Rise Up's the closest thing you'll get, which isn't a bad thing at all. I love Tesla.
Yeah, you have to now. That's the rules. But
yeah, even if you didn't wake before, you have to now.
Right. Wake up in the morning, listen to Tesla.
Yeah.
Hey, you pretty much described my daily routine.
Hey, that ain't a bad routine.
Yeah,
man. But it's cool. You know, when I first met Frank, you know, I didn't know a lot about the Tesla catalog. And ever since he invited me up to sing Getting Better with him at one of his local shows, that's where I first met him to see if, you know, does this kid have chops or not. I fell in love with Tesla. And now it's cool, man. I go up and I talk to him like, hey, man, you know, this song on the fourth album, you know, how did you guys write that? You know, it's cool to like pick his brain and ask like the behind the scenes questions, which is really cool.
So then tell us about your and the band's like writing process.
Yeah. So, you know, usually, you know, and man, I'll tell you, we've been writing and practicing. I mean, we're writing the second album right now. So we're just going for it, you know? And we kind of just all sit in a room. And if, you know, if I have a guitar riff or David has a guitar riff or just an idea, we start working on that idea. And the one thing that Frank taught us is that you listen to any Tesla song and every single part means something. You know, there's a rhyme and reason to it. There should be no filler parts in a song. And you know, that's really true. And that's what really we've learned from, Frank and, his songwriting is that we all sit down in a room and work on each individual part. I'll tell you, you know, on the Bring It Back album that'll be released, I am first or positive there's not one filler song on that album. And, it's really because we sit down in a room and we just work on it for hours and hours, making sure that every part is just, you know, as perfect as it could be.
So do you write the lyrics to the songs?
Yeah, man. So it's actually kind of funny is that we get all the music down and then I'm sitting there at my notebook and pen trying to play catch up, you know, we got it all down. I'm playing catch up, but yeah, you know, I write all the lyrics and the melody and stuff yeah, and it's really cool, you know, being a lyricist and a songwriter. And, you know, really when I wanted to be a singer is my dad took me to go see Sammy Hagar back in 2017. And that was really the changing point for me. I saw him with The Circle with Michael Anthony and Vic Johnson and Jason Bonham. And after that, dude, I started growing my hair out, started singing 5150 and 0812 in the shower. And those are kind of the origins of, you know, what would become Red Voodoo. So
wow. So I mean, basically then, like, how Did you sing much before 2017, or has it just been like from 2017 on you've really figured out how to sing? And if so, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you know, ever since 2017, that day, you know, when he took me up to go see in Tahoe, I just, you know, fell in love with Sammy's sound, just his whole entire attitude and persona. And really struck a nerve with me. And then after then, you know, like I said, I just started just singing. I was a piano player and a guitar player before, you know, I really wasn't, didn't really know I could sing. But no, I mean, dude, Sammy Hagar is a huge part of Red Voodoo's life. You know, the name Red Voodoo, I didn't, if you guys don't know, is a Sammy Hagar album. So
we know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, know. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, what am I saying? Jeez. but yeah, man. So yeah, a lot of the album and stuff is really influenced and inspired by it. So we just want to really bring that party rock, feel good rock and roll back to the limelight.
So then one of the things I'm interested in, I mean, and I know that you've had the chance to perform with Sammy, which I want you to tell us all about in a bit, but just like, how singing along to Sammy, how difficult is it? I mean, I know he's an incredible singer, so.
Yeah, just because he has such that high tenor and just the little things that's unique about his singing that, you know, I try to incorporate into my singing, you know, it wasn't always easy. You know, the reason that I've gotten, I wouldn't say good at it, but I could do it, I guess, is because, you know, when we played, before we even met Frank, you know, Red Voodoo would go out and we would play. We were a Van Halen tribute band in the very, very beginning. And we would play 4-hour shows around Northern California doing the bars or whatever, you know, playing 4 hours worth of both Van Halen eras and classic rock tunes. So it's really, a lot of it's just stamina, building up the stamina to really sing for that long. And then when you get to the point where you're only singing for an hour, it's like, oh, yes, you know, it's like, man, I'm not worn out.
Well, yeah, I'll never forget, like, seeing Sammy Hagar referred to as leather lungs when it comes to his singing.
Leather lungs. That's hella cool.
Yeah, but so yeah, tell us about going up on your birthday, Cabo Wabo, Sammy Hagar. I mean, that's an amazing, must be amazing.
Oh, dude, that was one of the best days of my whole life. And I'll tell you, that day really, you know, set a fire to so many new opportunities. But let me tell you about it. So, you know, me and my folks planned the trip to Cabo before all this COVID happened. And I was turning 18, you know, regardless. So, you know, I was able to go to the birthday bash, right? And so we booked it. And then we found out Sammy, you know, COVID happened. Sammy canceled his birthday bash, you know, but we were still going. It was my first time in Cabo ever. So we flew down there in October. And, you know, I was in contact with Sammy Hagar's tour manager, you know, because ever since, dude, that I've seen Sammy, I wanted to meet him and just, you know, just get in contact with him or, you know, just to see, like, just to him approve of one of my covers would be sick, right? So the first night I'm there, I meet up with Sammy Hagar's tour manager, one of his, you know, affiliates. And we hit it off, became friends. It was cool, you know. Didn't see him again the whole trip, but, you know, it was cool. I was just happy with that, you know. And plus, you know, getting away from all the COVID and you know, being in Cabo, San Lucas was pretty awesome. It's a great place if you haven't been there before. But I get a text the last day I'm there. It's on his birthday, October 13th. And all he texts me, he goes, "Hey, man, get to the Cabo Wabo at 1 o'clock. See you there." So I get there. I'm like, holy shit, you know. I'm sitting there like, oh, man, has it happened? I was watching Live Without a Net that morning, you know. I've been on my phone or whatever. And, you know, we walk into the Cabo Wabo, and everyone's running around because they know that Sammy's going to be there, all the staff. So they're getting all ready. And there's only like 150 capacity because of COVID. So it was a trip, man. If you stood up once during this performance, you were out of there. You were out. So, but Sammy wanted to do a little show for everyone because, you know, it's been so long without live music. And it was his birthday, and it was the 30th anniversary of the Cabo Wabo. So I roll in, you know, and they sit me right in front of the stage. And all I see is Sammy Hagar's acoustic guitar on, like, a stand. And I'll never forget it, dude. He walks down the steps. My jaw's dropped. Walking down the steps, right? And he looks at me. He tilts his glasses down, smiles, and he goes, Dino McCord from Red Voodoo is in the house. And I'm like, oh, shit, you know? And, it was crazy, man. I'm like, is this really happening, you know? And, you know, he mentioned the band and me. I'm like, oh, my God, right? So the first song he plays is the song Red Voodoo, dedicated to the band. And then it's near the end of his set. And he goes, hey, Dino, you want to come up and sing a few? And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, like, this is happening right now. And he goes, yeah, I need suggestions. And I walk up there and say, hey, man, can we play Finish Where You Started? And he goes, oh, great suggestion, you know. And we play Finish Where You Started and stuff. And then I was about to leave the stage, you know, because I'm like, all right, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm done. I don't want to, like, you know, overset my ground and nothing. Like, this is, I'm just, like, jaw-dropped still, you know. It's like, no, man, hey, let's sing Eagles Fly together. And we play Eagles Fly. And that was great, dude. And then just after that, at the Cabo Wabo, you know, the last day, it was just, I felt like I wasn't real, you know? It was like, is this really happening? But yeah, dude, that was just one of the best days of my life. And just that Sammy Hagar knows about Red Voodoo and stuff, and just, you know, the really cool things that we have in the works with him now, that hopefully will come to light in 2021, you know, later when tours could open back up and all that kind of stuff. It's just really cool to have just such a rock legend to back us up.
Well, and it must be nice, too, to kind of have that, you know, to have his kind of sign-off even on Red Voodoo and the name, right?
Right, yeah, totally, you know. And, you know, we got together with, we had a little meeting with some people that Sammy knew, and they said, man, you know, Sammy said that we have his blessing to do, you know, basically whatever. So it's really cool.
And you picked a hell of a good song, by the way. That's one of my favorites by him, too. Finish What You Started. I love Finish What You Started. You picked a hell of a good song there.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you. No, that's a great song. And, he had the acoustic. I was like, oh, yeah, this would be perfect, you know. But no, with Red Voodoo, you know, there's some really cool things in the works regarding. There might be a little bonus track on the album that has someone you might know on there. So,
without giving too much away, we'll see if we can piece all that together. Put on my Sherlock Holmes hat and see if I can do it.
Right. I don't know if you're going to figure it out.
maybe not.
But yeah, man, it's cool, you know. It's all that's really what we've, you know, it's kind of a silver lining for a lot of musicians during the pandemic, you know. First of all, when tours open back up, it's going to be a whole equal playing field for all the bands to get dates and stuff, number one. Number two, it kind of forced a lot of bands to get back in the studio and really record. And you know, I mean, for us, we're just starting up, and this is like our debut album, you know. We took a lot of time to write the songs and make connections with people we wanted to be with, like Sammy and Frank. And, you know, I think it's going to be really good, you know, when all this stuff opens up, I think. You know, it's going to be like the 80s again, I guess, where music's just going to go haywire and go nuts, you know, all genres.
I hope so, yeah, because, man, you know, that was the awesome thing about the 80s. You could have crazy sounds, you know, all sorts of different sounds hitting the top of the charts.
Right. And, dude, it was crazy. I totally forgot to mention, you know, speaking of young bands, you know, Woofie coming out with his new song and his album. Man, I would love to go, you know, tour with Woofie or play with Woofie, the Red Voodoo, you know, I mean, that'd be a killer. And I'm for sure going to go see him at Aftershock in Sacramento. That's his first show, which is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So how about the other guys in the band? We got your secret origin story there. You saw Sammy Hagar and then he sang his songs in the shower. Great origin story.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah,
how about the other guys, though? I mean, love for the music, where did it come from?
You know, the cool thing about all of us is that all of our dads are musicians and played back in the day. So they all kind of had a love for music that passed on to us. And, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, like, you know, how I said, like, let's start with Davin. You know, Davin's from Amador County in Jackson, California. And the cool thing about all of us, too, is that none of us went to the same school. We didn't know each other. Nothing like that. So, and Davin's huge influence is Eddie Van Halen. And I remember the first time he came to practice to audition for the band, because it was just me and Nick, the drummer. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But when Davin came in to you know, audition or whatever, he played Eruption for us, and it just blew our minds. And he's such a versatile guitar player, and plus, you know, with our songwriting and all that kind of stuff, it really shows that, you know, he's pretty damn good. And, you know, and plus, you know, the background vocals, man, Damon has the background vocals like Michael Anthony. He's like Eddie and Mikey in one, like they're bastard child or something. And, but, you know, he's the high harmony, like in Rise Up and Bring It Back. He's the really high harmony. So he's a really key player to the band. With Nick Peasley's the drummer, killer drummer. And actually, this is where Red Voodoo kind of began. I wanted to go find members to form a band after I saw Sammy. And my second concert ever was Y&T at Ace of Spades in Sacramento.
Nice.
And now, dude, I love Y&T. It's killer. Y&T's great.
Oh, yeah.
And I met Nick Peasley there. And he, like, worked at the club. And I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm looking to, you know, start a band, you know, thinking about joining. I'm like, yeah, dude. Killer. So I met with Nick, and, you know, him and I just started playing One Way to Rock together and all these, you know, Sammy Hagar Van Halen songs. And then Nick was like, hey, man, you know, I know this guitar player, David Royler. You know, I met him like a while back. You know, we were like in a band for a little bit. And then David joined the band. And, you know, but Nick, you know, really didn't know David that well, but he knew of him. And they were like in a band for like a week or two. Damon came down, play Eruption, blew our minds, and we were like, oh, crap. You know, I'll tell you, man, it's hard enough trying to find, you know, guys that like the same music and get along, but also, you know, that are committed and younger players, like, you know, like how we are, you know. So, but the hardest thing is to find bass players. That is the hardest thing ever. Man, we looked super hard, auditioned like three bass players. Even my dad played bass for a little bit with us doing some shows. I mean, it was hard. It was cool, though. That was really cool. But funny enough, man, we found Andrew Edwards, killer bass player. He also sings harmony. And we found him on Craigslist, out of all places. Yeah, found him on Craigslist, came down, auditioned, and, you know, there's your lineup. So, it was just kind of cool how, you know, it wasn't like a really cookie cutter story of how we all came together. And, you know, and plus, you know, you'll really see it with our live shows, man. Like our live shows go crazy. You know, we're running around, jumping in and just having a good time. So, but yeah, I guess, you know, that's how Red Voodoo came together.
Well, and I guess, you know, working as a cover band for a long time must really help hone that live show. And especially like you talked about your voice and having to sing for 4 hours, but I mean, just even having to be on stage and try to give the audience something for 4 hours. That's amazing.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks, man. And plus, you know, plus with Damon and Drew's voices too, you know, we're a very vocal band. And you'll see that on our debut album, you know, we really like, you know, the harmonies like Van Halen and Boston and the Eagles, you know, those type of harmonies with like, you know, classic hard rock. So it's going to be cool. Really exciting. You know, we have a sound, I think, that there's no other band right now that's young as us that has that type of sound.
Yeah, I mean, it is really refreshing to hear somebody that is 18 years old talk about, like, the Eagles and Boston and, like, Van Halen and stuff like that. It's just like, oh, thank you, you know. cool. It's like, you do get worried, I think, about society a little bit when it's just kind of like the cookie-cutter music that comes out in the top 40, and it's just like, oh, is it always going to be like that?
Four chords, all computerized or whatever, you know. But, yeah, man, it was cool. I was watching a documentary, actually, about Eddie Van Halen. It wasn't a documentary. It was, like, a video. But anyways, a kid, it was, like, a seminar they were having, and a kid walked up to Eddie on the microphone and said, hey, man, you know, what was it like, really, with when Van Halen came out and, you know, like, versus now? Like, is it the same? And he goes, and Eddie said, well, you know, when Van Halen made their debut, it was disco and pop that was kind of in the forefront of music, and now in 2021 I think it's pop and rap that's like in the forefront of music right now. So it'll be cool if history could repeat itself and you know, rock can make that comeback. But I thought that was just kind of cool. I was like, huh, you know. Plus, you know, all the bands like Whoopi and Us and Dirty Honey and Greg Van Fleet and Joyce Wolf and The Struts, you know, It's a pretty cool lineup right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it's amazing, like, when you really sit and think about it, that, yeah, I mean, music is so very cyclical and stuff like that, but, like, yeah, I wouldn't have thought before that Van Halen, you're right, Van Halen came out when disco and pop was on the charts. So, yeah, I mean, I think it just comes down to having the right sound, and more importantly, just being, you know, different, and certainly important. Like, I mean, no question, Eddie was important.
Right, of course.
So how much then do you kind of put into learning the business side then? The things like understanding how Spotify works and how you know, the different social media platforms and that type of thing. I mean, you probably have an advantage over some of the older groups who have to adjust to this. You know, you're growing up around this stuff.
Right, you know, and it's pretty cool. You know, we have like a little bit of a, I wouldn't say I went up, but we just kind of got into the social media because we've been using it, you know. Just that's just how it was for us, you know, and how it is now. And, but yeah, you know, it's still a learning curve, of course, you know, the Spotify and the Apple Music, trying to get that down. And we've really learned a lot, just, you know, all of Frank's experience, you know, on the business side of things. You know, it's a music business. And I didn't really realize that, you know, when you're playing cover shows, you're like, all right, you know, this is what it's going to be like for the whole time. But no, there's like a whole nother world. And, you know, like the interviews, that's been new for me. New for all of us, and you know, just all these, everything that goes into, you know, music is just crazy when it comes to the business world.
You know, the one thing I've learned doing the interviews on this, and I think this is important for the young musicians to know, is that there's people that don't sell as much, you know, and don't do as big as crowds, but they know the business better, so they make more money at it. Than the guys who, right. And some of the people who, you know, do better, might have bigger shows and might have, you know, bigger hits even, but they don't do as well musically because they don't understand that side.
Right. Kind of have like know of both sides to really get it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you got somebody, obviously, the fact that you got somebody mentoring you in that part too is really cool.
Right.
I mean, he's not just mentoring you in the music.
Yeah, you know, we're super thankful to have Frank's expertise and just to, you know, teach us all that he knows. It's really refreshing and really awesome too.
So one of the questions then that I have about Frank is like, does he kind of bring stuff up to you, or is it the kind of case where he's always there and you do just kind of go away, think of a question, and then bring it to him?
You know, the cool thing about Frank that's kind of, you know, because we've been working on his property and really getting to know him, is that, you know, our relationship with Frank is kind of like we're friends with him now. So, you know, yeah. So it's just kind of like a mutual conversation about everything. And he keeps us in the know. We keep him in the know. And it's just kind of a mutual kind of bond that's, you know, a respectable mutual bond that's really cool.
And, of course, you also did Rock and Roll Christmas, which was really fun. And Frank's on that, which, you know, I mean, talk about when you think about cool guitar players. I mean, Frank is really a cool guitar player. I mean, sitting there off to the side playing slide guitar with a shot glass.
Yeah, he's playing slide on that track, you know. Did you guys see the music video?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
Cool, yeah. He was like, it was funny. We were at the video shoot. And he goes, yeah, man, I'm going to be the ghost of Christmas past back here. It was pretty funny. He made his little cameo in the song, and that was a fun music video.
Yeah, I love the part where he gives you the guitar.
yeah, Santa's giving you a Gibson. Yeah, that part.
Yes.
He gives me the Explorer. No, that was hella funny. But, yeah, I'm glad it made it to you guys, because there was a lot of other radio shows that were saying, hey, we didn't get it this time. And, but it was kind of an afterthought, you know, for Rock and Roll Christmas, because we had a Rock and Roll Weekend already recorded, hint, hint, bonus track. so Rock and Roll Christmas, we kind of did that in a day, and we wanted to put out a really cool thing for Christmas. So, yeah, I'm glad you guys liked it a lot. You know, that was really fun, and something new for Frank, too.
Well, then, of course, you've got the video for Rise Up 2, which is fun. Tell me about recording that then, especially with everything that's going on.
Oh, with Rise Up. Yeah, man. So, man, for the music video?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, we recorded that in a really cool spot in NorCal, just kind of up in the foothills. And you know, it was the hottest day. It was like 104 filming that music video. And I remember, dude, we had an ice chest and everyone was just dying out there, man. And we had to do take after take after take of just the song. And, you know, we were jumping around, you know, and stuff. But, yeah, you know, it was hot. It was, that's really what I remember. If you had told me, you know, what do you take away from Rise Up? It was hot.
It was hot.
Well, by the end of it, we were all beat, whatever. And you know, we're all like, oh, we were short. You know we shouldn't have. But first of all, no, we're pants. And it was pretty funny. It was cool.
And I love, like, it's got one of those great scenes of, like, the band walking and playing, and my favorite is drumming to in the air. It's just like drumsticks and playing in the air.
Yeah. Oh, man, that cracked me up when I was watching it back. Yeah, man, the sticks, you know, because we are doing our thing, and Nick was like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Frank's like, just drum with the air, just drum on the air. It's pretty nice. Fun. But yeah, man, that was cool. You know, that music video was directed by actually one of my friends from high school. You know, it was his very first music video that he's ever did ever, you know. So that was, his name's Colton Hall, and he's an up-and-comer. But yeah, that was his very first music video. He was 18, just like me. And I think he did a pretty damn good job.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he brought the drone out, and he had a drone, the drone shots of the car and stuff. And it's pretty cool. You know, that car is kind of like a really cool kind of imagery. When you think of Rise Up, you're like, oh, the Rise Up car or the Rise Up truck. You know, that red truck we have going on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no question. I mean, when you think about music videos back when, I mean, they first started coming out and versus now, I mean, you can make this amazing music video with next to no money. And the drones, what do they add? A lot.
No, I mean, they do add a lot for sure. You know, the one thing that's funny, man, is that when Frank streamed the music videos back back then on MTV, that's what Frank wanted to do, is he wanted to make this like an MTV kind of music video where at the bottom it's like, you know, in the MTV font. And that was just kind of the goal, was to make like a classic MTV music video.
So Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, I think it worked. I think, you know, that's what we went out to do, and it looked like a classic MTV music video.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, again, I just love the fact that you can make something that looks like a classic MTV music video. I don't know, and thankfully I guess you have YouTube to play it on, because I don't know if MTV actually plays music videos.
No, I don't know they do now. No idea. But yeah, it's cool that we have, like, you know, YouTube and stuff, so people can go and watch it for sure. But yeah, you know, we recorded the Rise Up music video, and now a few weeks ago, we recorded the Bring It Back music video, and that's going to be releasing in about, you know, 2 weeks or so. So look out for that for sure. You know, we have the Bring It Back video is killer. A really good step up from Rise Up for sure.
Nice. So tell us then about the live show, like what we can expect when you come back and are able to play live. Have you played many shows that... where you're now Red Voodoo, not the cover band, you're Red Voodoo, the band?
Not really, not just yet. You know, I mean, we played originals near the end before we met Frank. We kind of mixed in our originals and covers. But, you know, we've been really practicing our live show, you know, just in the rehearsal room and stuff. And, you know, that's the one thing about us is that, you know, we practice like the transitions for the live shows, but when we're like our actual like stage antics, it's all just kind of natural. You just go crazy. I think the one rule is just don't hit each other.
yep, makes sense.
But yeah, you know, I mean, we have enough songs to do a full original live show. And that's really, you know, that's the transition that all this time and all this effort's been really making, is get these crazy good original songs, a good live show, good energy, good attitude, you know, and make that real big leap from a cover band to an original band. And that's exactly what we want to do.
So how do you guys know when you have a song that's a good one? I mean, you're already writing on your next album. Sounds like you're gonna start writing your third album probably in about a week.
That's right. Yeah.
So how do you know this? Like, okay, this one's a good one.
Every week's a new album.
Yeah, I love it. Do that. Yeah. 52 albums in a year. I want to see that.
That'll make some headlines for sure.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, when it comes to like knowing if a song's good. I guess it's two things. I don't know, man. It's a weird experience. It's like magic. You just kind of know. You look at each other, smile, like, okay, you know, this is good, you know. There's just this feeling you get. I call it gooses, you know, when you get chills, you know. That's kind of when you know, when we're all just like, all collectively, you know, four people as one are like, yeah, you know, this is it. You know, this is a great song. Or when Frank gets that huge grin on his face when we're playing on one of our new songs or something, you know. So, yeah, it's just kind of like a feeling, you know. You just feel like, you know, magic happened. Like, you feel like something just happened.
You must have times when you're like, man, I wish that song had been better. But at least you have the good ones coming next, you know. And that's the thing. It sounds like you got to know you're going to have another good one coming.
Yeah, for sure. You know, honestly, it's like I said, we've been trying to make every single song the best it could be, where we don't have to say, oh, you know, that one's the filler, you know. We really hone in on each part and try to make it the best we can. And with Frank's help, man, I mean, these, with his producing mind and his creative mind, I mean, these songs sound great.
So what about
I can't wait to hear him. Sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear him either. You know, what about the other big tenant of the 80s? You know, you have the big sound and the big choruses. The other thing you have is the big ballad. Do you guys have the big ballad ready to go?
We do have the big ballad ready to go, man. We do, yeah. I'll let you know, it's called Morgan Lane. That's what the ballad's titled. And it's a really cool ballad, man. It's like, what did Frank say? He was like, dude, this is the next Sister Christian. And he said something like that.
That's high praise, all right.
Yeah, but yep, we got the big ballad and ready to go. And it's a really cool one, man, really cool. You know, a lot of the great songs, you know, you take from, like, actual experiences. That's what I've learned, you know, like, Rise Up, you know, right in that downtown. You know, everyone in Red Theater is feeling the same mutual feeling about COVID, you know, like, why is this happening? You know, what happened? It's all sad. And we took that and we wrote Rise Up and really listened to the lyrics, you know, it's from real experiences. And I think that's where the best songs really come from, is actual genuine experiences.
So then how is it, I mean, being only 18 years old, like, how do you find all the real experiences when it's like you almost haven't lived enough?
Right, you know, sometimes it's like, all right, let's write like if you had this experience, you know. A lot of it's about love, you know. That's what's really about, all of it, about love and stuff, and, you know, heartbreak, or even, you know, like, we're bringing back the rock and roll sound, you know, rising up to, you know, from COVID and all the pandemic and stuff. And I think really, you know, the later albums, it'll just come from experiences on, you know, playing live shows and tour. But, you know, sometimes it just hits you. You know, I've heard a lot of times, you know, artists don't really like to talk about what the song was written about, because they want a listener to interpret it for themselves. You know, that's what's so cool. When I listen to a song, I can put my own spin on it, or put your own, you know, meaning towards it, to what's going on in your life. And yeah, that's just something cool that I've thought about, and something that people could apply to the album.
You just think about 80s and think about that time period and then write that song, because, you know,
right,
that's what you're capturing anyways, and we love it. Hey, we're gonna inspire you. We got a graphic novel coming out about a band in the 80s, so you know,
oh,
read
really?
That you're gonna feel like you're right there.
Right, exactly, there you go.
There you go. That's it.
Inspiration, and, you know, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it. We'll have to get you a copy. Yeah. So when do you know that you have a good lyric then? I mean, how hard do you work on the lyrics?
Oh, you know, it's kind of weird, man. You know, a lot of the lyrics I write in the morning, like at 5 a.m. You know, your brain's fresh and go. But, you know, sometimes, you know, the problem with me, man, is second verses. That's my deal. You know, I get my chorus and my first verse. I'm like, all right, now the second verse. It's like writing an essay. You know? I'm kind of stuck. And then I wait for 2 days, and then it hits me. I'm like, oh, now I know what to write about. So, you know, or sometimes, you know, like the other day we wrote a song for the second album, and I went, oh, I know exactly what to write about, and wrote the whole lyrics in one go, you know? So it's just kind of, and you know, you have a good lyric when it really means something. You know, if you just sing just whatever, it's just whatever. It comes out as whatever. But if you sing it and you have feeling with it and you really like mean what you're saying, I think that's what it is, a good lyric. If it comes through the music with emotion, I think that's a good lyric.
You know what I love talking to you about here at this interview? What I've loved, it's your infectious energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, thanks, man.
For the music, that's probably going to be the show title. You know, and you know, this is being awesome. I know we're getting close to our time limit here. So, Brett, if you have any last questions, or do you want to give Dino a chance to promote?
Oh, I'm good. So, Dino, you know, why don't you tell all the fans where they can find Red Voodoo and keep up with you guys?
All righty. So here we go. Here's the social media breakdown. We got our Instagram at Red Voodoo Band. We have our Facebook at Red Voodoo. Our Twitter at Red Voodoo Music, and our website at redvoodooband.com, where in 2 weeks you can watch the Bring It Back music video.
What about TikTok?
TikTok.
You don't have a TikTok yet. That'd be pretty smart to get, huh?
That's all right. I'm sure it'll be a little bit before this interview is posted. It'll probably be, I bet you, that Rise Up video will be ready and people will be able to go see it by about the time that this gets up on our website. So.
Awesome. Cool.
Perfect timing.
Great. Man, thank you so much for having me, man. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And I know that we look forward to hearing a lot more from Red Voodoo in the coming days.
We are cheering for you.
That's right.
Hey, I bet that graphic novel, too.
Yeah, there you go.
It's called Kings of the Strip. I'll give a little plug for myself right here on my own show.
There you go.
Kings of the Strip, about the Kings, some guys from the Sunset Strip in the 80s.
Yeah, that's badass, dude. That's cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Dino, and we wish you nothing but the best, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime.
All right, for sure, man. Hey, thanks, guys. Thank you so much, Brett and Mo. Thank you.
No problem. All right, bye now.
Search of me.